Blog Talk Radio. hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call. Come on, I dare you tonight just to call out the name of Jesus. Something happens when we speak His name. No other name is higher than that name. When I call, there's a story of a man who was sitting on the roadside. The Bible says that everybody tried to shut him up. But he said, I know something's going to happen when I call on that name. So even though they tried to keep him quiet, he said, Jesus. He cried, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Welcome to Prolific Fire with me, Prophetess Stacy. Tonight I wanted to do something special for the body of Christ. If you were unable to attend Woman That I Lose last year, I wanted to play Dr. Cindy Trent's message. It's a powerful message that really blessed me, and I wanted to share it with you all tonight. I pray that there be no interruptions and no disconnects in the spirit realm, but that you would get what you need from the Lord. In the name of Jesus, listen and be blessed. Dr. Cindy Trim, woman that I lost last year.
A broad place today. It's a perfect storm. It's a time, Father, that you are going to cause mantles to merge and anointings to be revealed. This is the place, the zip code, that you have designated to become a sterile environment to birth purpose. I decree, Father, today that no woman would leave here like they came. There is no one that would leave here bound, tormented, sick, or lame, because the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Father, I decrease so that you may increase. Give me freedom of thought, articulation of speech. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. Let there be none of me and all of you. Father, let the anointing be tangible. It's the anointing that breaks yokes. It is not by my might, nor by my power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. You're able to reach where my hands cannot reach. And you're able to touch places deep within each one of our hearts where my words cannot touch. Allow for this hour, God, to be an hour to birth us into the new. Let us not look back, but let us look ahead with anticipation that our best days lie ahead of us. Thank you for our fresh anointing. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the person on your left and right and make this declaration. Tell them this is the last day you're going to see me in this state. You'll never see me in this state another day. I promise you, watch me change right before your eyes. Watch me change. Watch me. Watch me change. I did not come this far to leave like I came. I came here to press into the new. I came to forget those things which are behind me and reach forth towards those things which are ahead of me. Something is about to happen in the woman's life that is standing on your left and right. I decree and declare, and I make this declaration under the authority of God. The person on your left and right, I'm telling you that if you don't want this anointing, either the person on the left or your right is going to receive it. They'll not only receive what God prepared for them, but they'll receive a double portion. Turn to your neighbor and say, go ahead and play with this if you want. But I'm going to press into the anointing. And if you get in my way, I will run you over. I will dance on top of your feet. But today, I've been waiting all of my life for this moment in time. Can you make the declaration? Tell them I've been waiting all my life for this moment in time. And I'm not letting anything stop me. Not my mind, not my emotions, not my memory, not my thoughts. Not a devil, not a demon, not a deacon, and not you. Oh yes. Ladies, if you don't learn how to take the personal power that God has given you and use it to see that you will not only be able to get your breakthrough for yourself, but for your family, nobody's going to do it for you. You see, we wait, we keep waiting for people to do something. You haven't figured it out yet, that if they haven't done it for themselves, they'll never be able to do it for you.
So why don't you look at that same neighbor and say, listen, I dismiss you from your self-appointed position in my life. I don't need you anymore to affirm who I am. I don't need you anymore to confirm who I am. I don't need you anymore to like me. I don't need your false prophecy. I've heard from God. This is the last day you're going to give your personal power away. The last day. The last day. The last day. Listen to me carefully. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something right with you. And that's why the devil hates you. Glory to God. We are our worst enemy. I'm telling you. A woman gives the devil a run for his money any day. Amen. You may take your seat. Just doing a little house cleaning. Three things. You'll have three opportunities throughout this message. The first opportunity is an opportunity to believe. You're either going to believe that God is speaking directly to you or you're not. That's the first opportunity. The second opportunity that you're going to be given is going to be given by revelation. And it's something that changed my life. And that is understanding the power of a seed. It was a seed that broke the spirit of poverty off of my life. One man of God not being afraid of anyone in the congregation to stand up and say, there are four people that need to give $1,000. And I was in between blessings. I had two engagements in an entire year. And I was an immigrant in the United States of America. I had just come to the United States of America. God kind of like, I don't know how to explain God. But anyway, I was at the pinnacle of my career and the pinnacle of success at 30. And I was running a country at 30. And God said to me, I was sitting in the Senate and he said to me, Cindy, I've given you the desires of your heart. Give me your first fruit. And I knew what my first fruit was. And I resigned that day. And they were grooming me to be the first black prime minister of my nation, the first black female. First black female. And I was sitting there, and when God spoke to me, I resigned right away, and my entire political party said, you've got to be out of your mind. Do you realize the position that you're in? Do you realize what you're giving up? Do you realize everybody would want to be in your position, and you're doing what? When I gave God my first fruit, he did me a favor. He ushered me into a realm of faith. Faith is a creative womb where with God nothing is impossible. And just if you could connect your belief and if you could connect your emotions with what God is saying to you, money appears out of thin air. No, I'm very serious. I came from poverty, so I know what I'm talking about. When this man stood, I was new in the United States of America. God said, I need you to go to the United States of America and go to this obscure place called Fayetteville, which you can't find on the map. And there, I was incubated. I'm going somewhere with this. I was incubated in obscurity. Nobody knew me. I was a known name. I was in a new country. I had to start all over again. I didn't have a job. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a church home. I feel the anointing. And over the next couple of moments, what God has instructed me to preach is not just a revelation to me. It's truth. There's a difference between propaganda and truth. Truth is told from the right context, with the right purpose, with the right intention. Propaganda takes facts and it twists it for the wrong reason, with the wrong intention. I'm not standing here to twist the truth. I'm standing here to give you the truth, because the truth is the only thing that liberates. I don't have any gimmicks, no fake scriptures. I don't have a note on my notes that say, scream here, shout here, tell your neighbor, you know, give your neighbor a high five. I have absolutely no gimmicks. In fact, I was telling First Lady, I prepared 6 straight months to preach and studied every day. And last night when I set up, the intercessors were praying. And 2 o'clock this morning, God said, I'm changing your message. I said, what? I'm shaking. You can't see it, but I'm shaking because I'm anointed. My anointing is not for me to fall out and impress you. The anointing that I'm carrying is a breakthrough anointing for you. I don't care how God delivers it. I don't care. This one man looked and said, there are 4 people that are going to give $1,000. I was an intercessor, so I began to intercede. Oh, Rabashanda. For 45 minutes, I interceded like that. And then God said, he's talking about you. 3 people had come up. 45 minutes, he waited for me to get the revelation. And I had to run out to the bank to withdraw the money. And he waited. And he came back. And I'm so glad that men of God waited for me to get the revelation. You are going to have a second opportunity that can only be given to you by revelation. The first year I preached here, God said, give $1,000. The best thing that I could have ever done. The richest soil that I could ever plant in. It's not about dropping names and rubbing shoulders with anybody. It's about recognizing an anointing and planting a seed in that anointing, because your gift is going to make room for you to be in that same anointing. This is a great platform. I don't know how God managed to get me from where I started out to where I am today, but to whom much is given, much is required. And I take this seriously. Your second is to give a seed by revelation. Let me challenge every business woman and every woman in ministry. One man stood and under the anointing challenged. And I heard the challenge. And by revelation, I gave that seed. My second challenge to you is, somewhere in the message, every last one of you are going to be challenged to give a seed into the anointing. This is good ground. You are not giving to me. You're not giving to Bishop or First Lady Sarita Jacobs. You're giving to your own life. That seed changed my life forever. If I end up being slain today, we are so accustomed to people laying hands on us that we have lost sensitivity to the Holy Spirit when God lays a hand on us. The third opportunity, the second one, somewhere, every last one of you are going to have an opportunity to plant a seed. There are going to be $1,000 seeds. There are going to be $500 seeds. $200 seeds and $100 seeds. You have to have the revelation. And at the point of your revelation, I've learned a long time ago, I don't need an envelope for Uncle Sam to recognize what I give. God keeps good records. And if you don't have an envelope, don't be scratching, waiting for Uncle Sam to recognize it. United States of America is broke. And to give into the realm of something that is broken is to break your own life. Give into the anointing. The anointing, how many of you know that God is not broke? The third opportunity that you're going to have is the opportunity to invest in your life. Each one of the speakers have bought a series of tapes. Bishop Jake's Bible, Lady Sarita, her book, Paula White, Cheryl Brady. We've all bought products. The greatest investment that you can make in your life is an investment in information. You may never get a chance to talk to any one of us, but we have put our thoughts and ideas into a tape, a book. You don't spend money on information, you invest. We invest money on everything except information. The Bible says that it's the lack of knowledge that binds us, that destroys us. And a lot of times we blame the devil, but the devil wish he had as much power as he fakes. It's your lack of knowledge that binds you. I don't have a bag to tote. There's a lot of products that we bought in the back, but I can say this. One of the reasons why I did not bring a bag to give away free is because on the table, anyone that buys gets something free. We bought T-shirts that are free. We bought pens that are free. We bought bags that are free. We bought journals that are free. Anybody that goes to our table, there's something free for you. So it's not just for the four people that come up. Any one of you that goes to that table, listen to me carefully. One of the reasons why you don't get a breakthrough is because you don't want to wait. So when you see a long line, you get impatient. You have done that all your life, and you have missed divine opportunities. When you go to the tables and you see a long time, wait, what are you rushing for? Your third opportunity is to invest in your own life. I want to recommend three things. There's a whole bunch of things, but three in particular, the Prayer Warrior's Way. This book is written to break the spirit of an orphan. Most women have a spirit of an orphan. And we end up in relationships looking for someone to parent us. You know, you have a spirit of an orphan when you become clingy. There's a lot of... God is going to break the spirit of an orphan, number one. Number two, most of us have delayed development. Emotionally, we may be one place, but financially we're somewhere else. Chronologically, we may be one age, but financially we may be like children. It'll break that spirit off of you. The second is the soul fast. I've discovered last year when I left here, God said, if you are really going to support what Bishop Jakes is doing, when you walk away from here, you've got to do more than just say that you preached on a platform. You have 365 days to allow me to excavate the thing that will perpetuate the message that Bishop Jakes is preaching. And I said, God, what is that message? And he gave me the title, Soul Fast. I didn't know what it was. Then I found out everything that is happening in our soul. And if we could just heal the soul, we can heal the world. And so I wrote the book, The Soul Fast, 40 Things You Need to Know. 40 is a number, a breakthrough. It's a number that takes you into a realm. Pick up a copy of the Soul Fast book. There's enough for each one of you. Make this investment in your life. You look good. But your designer boots, your designer jewelry, will never break the bondage in your soul. You could beat your face with Mac all day long. What does it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole world and lose control of her soul? Three opportunities that you're going to have. And I'm putting the ball in your court. Finally, I want to take this opportunity to congratulate every woman. I plan to stick to my notes because I studied it all half of the year. And then God changed it last night, so I'm going to stick to the notes. Thank God for computers. Amen. And I want to pretty much stick to it. I don't know how God is going to move, but each one of you are going to have a moment in time, a defining moment. But I want to congratulate every woman that pushed away and invested in your own life and destiny by making the effort to attend Woman Thou Art Loose. I want to congratulate you. As women, we often focus on everyone around us but ourselves. We are entangled, we are enmeshed in so many things until we become disconnected from our authentic self, who we really are, because we are by nature self-sacrificing. But because of events such as this, we can pull aside to nurture and cultivate our own greatness. We are all somehow interconnected, inextricably linked. And I sense that this more strongly this year than I've ever sensed it in any time that I've ever graced or mounted a platform. I'm extremely privileged and grateful to be here today. God has prepared the way, the direct path, the means, the course, the precise direction, the manner in which your destiny takes place and shaped in the context of what I call a defining moment. This is the moment here, right now, that we've been waiting for, we have been praying for, and you cannot miss your moment. On that note, let me emphatically express my gratitude to the Lord one more time for this opportunity. Our world is hurting. There's a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of efforts that have been placed into helping the world heal itself and bringing solutions to the world. And this is why I wish to acknowledge how blessed we all are to be born during a generation in which women and men such as Joel Osteen, Paula White, Cheryl Brady, Israel Houghton, Gary Oliver, Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, we have been blessed to live during their generation. We find ourselves amongst them. They are the movers and the shakers and the trailblazers. But we are movers and we are trailblazers and we are the shakers in our own home. I want to stop long enough to acknowledge and to give honor where honor is due. And I want to honor Bishop T.D. Jakes and First Lady Sarita Jakes towards this end. I want to acknowledge your leadership. I want to acknowledge your courage. I want to acknowledge the one man that had the courage to step forward to create this platform, which is now no longer just a conference. It is now a global movement. And he has done it on behalf of women. It took a man like Bishop Jakes to rise up and say, "Woman, thou art loose." It took a man to rise up to give women everywhere the opportunity to breathe again, to hope again, to heal again. The Woman Thou Art Loose is more than a conference. It is a movement which is empowering and impacting women from every race, every creed, every condition. This movement resonates with the need of women around the world, not just Christian women, but every woman, every black woman, every white woman, every Hispanic woman. Woman, thou art loose. Not just Christian women, women from all over the world. Muslim woman, you are loose. Are you hearing me? Atheist woman, you are loose. And it took a man to stand up to be able to restore the dignity and hope. Last year, I decided that I wanted to be a permanent part of this movement, to play a greater role, just beyond the few moments that were afforded me, to empower women, to remind women how important we are. Women, you are change makers. You are the hand that rocks the cradle. And if the hand that rocks the cradle is broken, what happens to the world? You are the hands and the hearts that mold the next generation. You are the hands that give hope and healing to the next generation. I want to say that Bishop Jake epitomizes Christ's likeness in our generation, because like Jesus, he understood the value of women. Jesus empowered women all over. He empowered the women around them. He called them out. He raised them up. He respected their leadership. Bishop, we celebrate you because you epitomize Christ. In Luke 13 and 12, we read, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities." These words resonate beyond that pivotal moment of healing and liberty for women with issue of blood. They echo in the souls of all women seeking to be set free from the myriad of issues facing women today. The issue of blood was life issues, because life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Therefore, when she was healed of her blood issues, she was healed of her life issues. When we celebrate today this man, this woman of God, we are celebrating a man who, like Jesus, speaks healing and freedom to every woman in this world. Woman, thou art loose. It's not just a conference confined to the church. Women are in dire need of healing and freedom around the world, and issues concerning that which restrain or hinder their development. Indeed, they are infirmities, and we all need to recognize that our infirmities means that there are inequalities. But when Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loose," he was not only healing her infirmities, he was healing her of the inequalities. And today we want to be able to stand and salute this man of God, and we want to say how much we appreciate what you have done for us, and how you have paid the price, and how you have given so much. And we want to acknowledge you by presenting you with a tribute to Bishop Jakes, and he also forwarded my book, and I wanted to say thank you very much and give this and present this to you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22, and Genesis 3 and 20, we want to braid two scriptures together. Again, I spent 6 months preparing for a message that I was not going to preach, and so it's impossible for me to get in God's way. But in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22, and we're going to braid it with Genesis 3 and 20. The Bible says, very simple, "And of some having compassion, making a difference." I just want to address you in just a very simple topic on women shaping the world. Women shaping the world. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says these words, "And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living." From the beginning of the world, women had been shaping and molding the trajectory of humanity. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 30, the Bible said that God spoke to himself and said to himself, "Let us make mankind in our image and after our likeness." He reached on the inside of himself and created the male expression and the female expression of everything that he was. But men somehow fell. The fall was not from heaven. And so as I read the scriptures, I've discovered that the scriptures are not so much written on how to get us to heaven, but how to get heaven to bear here on earth. Jesus, teaching his disciples, said, when you pray, you are praying to your progenitor. Pray, our Father. You've got to understand that your nearest relative is not a monkey or an orangutan. Your nearest relative is God himself. He made you as the female expression of who he is. That means my physical gender does not define my destiny or purpose. My physical body actually carries who I am. You've got to understand that your body is the thing that gives you permission to exist in time. But when time ceases to exist, your existence will not cease. Why? Because you are an eternal being. God always existed. Therefore, you always existed. You existed as a thought. A thought is a thing. And things are the things that God brings into this world that makes everything makes sense. Man did not fall from heaven. He fell from a state of blissful blessing. He fell from a realm of dominion. Dominion is not just your right to rule or exercise authority. Dominion is the full expression of everything God constructed you to be. Let us make mankind. The Hebrew word asah. It means to purpose build and to construct. It not only means to purpose build and construct. It means to ordain. In other words, the moment God decided your birth date was the moment he ordained you to be here. No man has the right to give you permission. If God has counted you in, no man can count you out. Act Rahab. They mentioned her husband, but they never mentioned her until the book of Matthew, where by revelation they were forced to acknowledge that there could never be a Boaz if there was not a Rahab. Man cannot count you out if God has counted you in. A piece of paper does not define who you are. A degree does not define who you are. A job does not define who you are. A lack of jobs don't define who you are. God clearly defined who you are. Many times we are turning to people in relationships, looking for a mirrored image of who we are. The greatest relationship that you can ever establish is the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. From that time that Satan discovered that God had hidden something miraculous in the woman, Satan has been fighting us. And I found out that he does not fight you in areas that he does not fear you the most. Could it be that he's really afraid of our power? Could it be that he's afraid of our destiny? Could it be that he is afraid of your anointing? Could it be that he's afraid of your purpose? Could it be that he's afraid of your children? Could it be that he's afraid of your business? Could it be that he's afraid of your assignment? Could it be that he's afraid of woman? He fights us so much. He fights our mind. He fights our gender. Could it be that he's really afraid of us being women? I would rather be a woman than a man. I understand, and I say this over and over, that we recognize that the male man was the beginning of his creation. It was the first. Are you with me? And women were the second. We do not agree. And so we were the second addition, but everybody knows that the second addition is always better than the first. I don't mind being considered second by anyone. Are you hearing me? Therefore, when we read about the colossal catastrophe in the Garden of Eden, not only did Adam fall, but Eve fell as well. When Adam and Eve fell, the landlord became the renter. The leader became the follower. The victors became the victims. The benefactors became the beggars. The lenders became the borrowers. The co-creators became the consumers. Help me, God. The problem solvers became the problem. The head became the tail. The first became last. The overcomer became overcome. The hunter became hunted. When man and woman fell, they were sentenced to a realm of facts. They were sentenced to a realm of information. They were sentenced to a realm that operated by their five physical senses. But thank God for the second Adam. The second Adam, when he shed his blood, hallelujah, he restored us back to our original state in the Garden of Eden. We no longer have to be hunted and haunted. We no longer have to be subdued and subjugated. We no longer have to live in the back. We no longer have to live on the bottom. We no longer have to be overwhelmed by problems. We can become the problem solver. Eve was a female expression of God. Eve was the source code. Eve was birthed out not to be a part of the problem, but to be the solution to the problem. God said to Adam, Adam, you have a problem. Adam, it is not good for you to be alone. And so when God looked for a solution to solve the problem, he could not find it in the animal kingdom. He could not find it in the angelic kingdom. He could not find it in the intergalactic kingdom. He could not find it in the organic kingdom, the sub-organic kingdom, the quantum mechanical kingdom. When God looked for a solution to solve man's problem, he looked to himself and poured out of himself somebody by the name of woman. That means
that when God created us, He created us to solve problems. He wired us to become the solution, hallelujah, to some problem in this world. And as a part of the wiring, He gave us a womb. Help me, Lord. If you pray for me, I can get you there. He created us with a womb. The first thing that Adam did when he saw the magnificent creation that was different from the animals that he had named, he turned around and said, "Isha." Hence the name, hallelujah, Eve. He called her name Eve. God called her woman, but man called her Eve. It was a designation. It was him recognizing that you're everything that I am in the spirit realm, but there is one difference in the natural, and that natural is that you have a womb. You've got to understand that women remind the devil every single day, hallelujah, that who really has the power. He's reminded by the womb of a woman, hallelujah, that she represents the womb of God. The womb of God is the mind of God. Every time a woman walks on the earth has to acknowledge her footsteps. The earth has to acknowledge her thumbprint. The earth has to acknowledge her voice print. The earth is a replication of the womb of a woman. The Bible said all of the earth is groaning up until now, travailing in prophetic contractions, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God cannot be manifested in the earth realm except they come through the womb of a woman. Let me tell you something. Everything rises and falls on our womb. This is why the enemy wants to fight our femininity. But the devil is a light. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. The Bible lets us know that everything in the universe, hallelujah, is originated in a womb. Even God has a womb. The Bible indicates to me that whenever God speaks, He speaks from His determinate counsel or His intention. The intentions are coming from the mind. Your mind is the womb of your spirit. That means that even though a man may not have a physical womb, a man has a spiritual womb called his mind. That's why you've got to be careful in this season to mind your own business. Glory to God. You've got to know what God is saying to you. You cannot afford to be like Sarah. I got to throw her in there somewhere. Hallelujah. Sarah turning to Hagar. Hallelujah. Looking for Hagar to give her what God had wired her to have. It's an interesting situation when it comes to women in our relationships. We always turn to people that cannot give us, hallelujah, what we need. They don't have the capacity for us. Why? Because somehow the enemy has messed with our mind to believe that what we are looking for is somehow on the outside of us, when we have not finally got the revelation that what you're really looking for, you already have. Hallelujah. How can you turn to a woman that has a broken image of herself to look for a reflection of who you are? You will only get a broken reflection of who you are. I found out that like attracts like. When you change, your relationship will alter to accommodate your change. Women like to change things. Women like to nurture things. But I'm 43 years old, 53 years old. I got mixed up. I'm 21. So I get mixed up. As a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. Glory to God. But at this age, Lord have mercy, I'm not turning to someone to define who I am. away to people that don't have the capacity for me. Your rejection of me doesn't mean that something is wrong with me. It means that something is right with me, but you don't have the capacity for me. We are only able to reject in others what we secretly harbor in ourselves. When you reject me, the only thing that I can do is not be offended by it, but to feel sorry for you. Sorry that you don't love yourself. Sorry that you don't appreciate yourself. Sorry that you don't celebrate yourself. But just because it's raining on your parade, don't mean that it's raining on my parade. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I could just get a little bit more floor monitor. Glory to God. I need to give myself a high five. In fact, let me just segue for one moment. Hallelujah. When you give someone a high five, hallelujah, this is not a carnal thing. When you're giving someone a high five, you're coming into agreement with that person. If two of you touch and agree, that means that you've got to know what you are asking them to give you a high five about. Tell them I'm all that plus a bag of chips. Now give your neighbor a high five. If your neighbor is jealous, then give yourself a high five. It's all clapping. Yay! Dean. Women, woman is what they call me. Why would I want to be a man when I got all this going on? I don't want to dress like a man, sound like a man, act like a man. I like my nails done, my fingers done, my eyes done, my hair done. Ask me why. Because my name is why. Oh, yes. You may not like me being a woman, glory to God. Just a few more minutes, and I'm going to get to them. Just a few more minutes. Woman was God's secret weapon. The enemy was trying to get to the man through the woman, not knowing that the very thing that he was overlooking would be the very thing that would threaten his kingdom. When a man is born, he has to wait until he's about 12 years old before he can produce full mature seed. But a woman is different. A woman does not have to wait until she's 12. But the very day a female is born, she is born fully loaded. Baby, it may not look like it now, but the woman on your left and right is fully loaded. Turn to your neighbor. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, I'm fully loaded. And if they don't want to agree with you, give yourself a high five and say, devil, I came loaded. I am loaded. It doesn't matter what you do, I'm still loaded. My outward appearance may not look like it, but I have this treasure in earthen vessel. I'm almost there. The day that you were born with over 400,000 eggs housed in your ovary at birth. When a woman is born, she is born fully loaded. She does not have to wait until the onset of puberty to form anything. She is different from a man in that she comes gifted and talented and loaded to shape and mold the world. This is why the enemy attacked the woman first in the Garden of Eden, because he understood that the second edition was fitted with something that the first edition did not have. You've got to understand that everything in the universe works with timing. The egg must be released at the right time in order for the woman to be impregnated. And God had women as a secret weapon. Even though woman fell, God gave woman a monthly cycle. And as long as the earth remains, the Bible says there is going to be seed and time and harvest. The enemy wanted to interrupt a divine cycle by attacking the woman. He might have interrupted a spiritual cycle, but he could not interrupt the divine cycle. God spoke over the woman and gave her a prophetic word and told her the thing that you are pregnant with, the thing that you are wired for. I'm going to use that thing to remind the devil every single month that he could not interrupt every cycle. He may have frustrated it, but every month during your monthly cycle, the devil is reminded, hallelujah, that he was defeated on the cross. Every single month when your blood flows, it is a divine announcement, devil, you are defeated. This is why the enemy is fighting women today. He's fighting women because even though there are women that think of their cycle as a curse, the devil is a liar. The truth is, your cycle is a blessing. Every month you prophesy to every demon and devil, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Shout every woman in here, you better thank God for your sight. It may hurt every month, but every month, God uses your cycle as a weapon of mass destruction. You got to understand that when woman fell, the enemy thought that she would be left in a state of curse. But God said to the woman, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and shall bruise your heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto your husband. I found out just from listening to Bishop Jakes and to Paula White, Bishop Jakes said, before you are married, you are already a wife. Paula White said that God is your husband, that he lets me know that every single month, as in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Something supernatural is going on. Ladies and gentlemen, God told me something. 2 o'clock this morning, God told me to remind you that every time you have a cycle, to remind you that everything in the universe operates by a cycle. The earth revolves around the sun, gives us days and weeks and months and years and seasons, just like the earth revolves around the sun, based on a cycle. You cannot have life without a woman's cycle. Life is about cycles. Life is about seasons. Life is is about timing. Ladies and gentlemen, from your birthday last year to your birthday this year, you would have made a complete cycle around the sun without any effort on your part. Can you imagine, with just a little imagination and a little effort on your part, cooperating with God, if you can make it all around the sun without any effort? Can you imagine if you put just a little effort into your life, what God can do with you, what God can do through you? God says, life is about cycles. There's a time to be born, there's a time to be dead. In other words, there is a time for manifestation and a time for expiration. But just because your cycle ends today doesn't mean that another cycle is not coming a month later. I'm here to announce to you, the devil might have made you feel that you are at the ending of a cycle. That may be true, but get ready. Another cycle is on the way. God has raised us up as intercessors. An intercessor is a midwife. God has brought you here because God is about to birth you out. You can break cycles of failure. You can break cycles of debt. You can break cycles of lack. You can break cycles of limitation. You can break cycles of hatred, cycles of jealousy, cycles of domestic violence. You can replace it with cycles of success, cycles of prosperity, cycles of abundance, cycles of joy, cycles of peace. I come to announce to you, something is about to happen. You are not just being fought, because the enemy decided to pick on you. You are being fought because God is getting ready to birth something through you. Is there a Hannah in the house? You come through hardship, trial, abuse, and somehow you felt that the spirit of Penina had come to destroy. But Penina can never destroy the thing that you are pregnant with. Penina is your midwife. Penina has come to announce that you're overdue. October is 1 month away from September. September is the 9th month. October is the 10th month. You are overdue. Woman, God brought you here to announce it's time to put. You are past. I wish I had time to really preach this, but you're past your due date. October is the month that Bishop and Lady Sarita Jakes prophetically got from God. Hallelujah. To have woman, thou art loose. October is a prophetic month. October is the 10th month. month. Tan is a number of law and order. God is getting ready to bring things back into order. He's getting ready to give you his word to bring things back into alignment. Your mind is coming back into alignment. Your ministry is coming back into alignment. Your marriage is coming back into alignment. Your children are coming back into alignment. Your body is coming back into alignment. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. My name is Eve. I am the womb through which God has determined the next generation of movers and shakers will be birthed. You have a womb. The Bible says, sing thou that did not fear. Break forth into singing. Pastor Paula preached it last night. Singing is different from making a sound. Singing simply means you bring order to sound. God is bringing order to your cry. God is bringing order to your prayers. Singing puts a melody to words. God is bringing the melody back. Every woman has a song. Every woman has a story. Sing, O barren woman. The Bible said, enlarge the place of your tent. Don't save anything for later. Stretch forth now. God said, for more of the children of the woman of the desolate, God is getting ready to release you from your dry season. He's getting ready, hallelujah, to pour the rain on your fields. Everybody else has had a breakthrough, but I've come to announce to you that it's not only your turn, it's your time. From a pictorial view of obstetrics, metaphorically speaking, I see this room as a fertility clinic full of seeds waiting to be deposited and waiting to be birthed out. God is getting ready to heal our wounds. The Bible says that Sarah did not have the strength to believe God. I'm here to announce to you, you may have been disappointed in the last season, but this is your season of appointment. This is your month. God is giving you your strength back. God is giving you your song back. God is giving you your peace back, your prayer life back, your praise back. God is restoring the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar destroyed. Devil, you're a liar. You made me believe that God somehow could not see me in the midst of thousands of women. But devil, you're a liar. God sees you in the nosebleed section. God sees you in the back, in the middle, on the right. God has made a space for you. God has determined a place for you. God has preserved a grace for you. God made you a creative being, a speaking being, a spiritual being. But he also made you a significant being. People may not see your significance, but God sees it. What a woman really wants, demonic oppression. Jephthah was birthed out of social stagnation. Abraham was birthed out of idolatry. We all have to be birthed out of something. Jeremiah was birthed out of immaturity. Rahab was birthed out of prostitution. Ruth was birthed out of widowhood. Naomi was birthed out of depression. Elijah was birthed out of obscurity. Zacchaeus was birthed out of crime. Elijah was birthed out of spiritual abuse. Leah was birthed out of rejection. Paul was birthed out of zealotry. Joseph was birthed out of prison. David out of rejection. Timothy out of fear. Peter out of failure. Jabez out of illegitimacy. Jesus was birthed out of the grave. And if a grave could not hold him down, being born without a father cannot hold you back. Your failures cannot prevent your success. Intimidation cannot back you up. The lack of your family support cannot prohibit God from birthing you out. I'm going to wind it up. Give me about 7 minutes and then I'm going to be finished. God gave my man by the name of Gladwell, Malcolm Gladwell, the idea of a tipping point. A tipping point is the same thing as a defining moment. A tipping point is the same thing as transition. Transition means I'm neither here nor there. It's that 12 o'clock midnight when it's neither night nor day. God brought you here because you are at a tipping point. That defining moment when the matrix of time is stretched to its optimum pressure, and pain and discomfort is when you are at the point of giving up and breaking down. But I've come as a prophet to announce to every demon, every devil, you will not break down. You're going to break through. Yeah, has sent me to announce that this is the time for you to push. The pain is its greatest, but push. I hear the Lord say, prophesy, arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I hear the Lord say, prophesy, thou shalt arise and have mercy, for the time to favor her, the set time is come. Ladies, I've come to announce it's time for you to do the right thing. Doing nothing is death. Doing the wrong thing at the wrong time is ignorance. Doing the right thing at the wrong time is disaster. Doing the right thing at the wrong time is a mistake. Doing the wrong thing at the wrong time with the wrong people is failure. Doing the wrong thing at the right time with the right people is confusion. Doing the right thing at the right time with the right people is strategic, and it guarantees success. Women, you are witness. I loose every ministry. I loose you from abuse. I loose you from poverty. I loose you from loneliness. I loose you from shame. Tell your neighbor, pause, 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 pause. I dare you. Take your praise to the next level. I dare you. Take your faith to the next level. It is your time. It is your time.
You can stand there waiting for the person on your left to get the revelation. But I dare you to get the revelation yourself of who you are. I dare you. I dare you. Devil, I'm breaking through. Devil, I'm loaded. I'm loaded with gifts. I'm loaded with ability. I'm loaded with purpose. Yeah. Anointed, watch me and show them, show them, show them, show them. Say, this is what you do with your feet, this is what you do with your hands, this is what you do for a breakthrough. When Bishop and Lady Jakes said yes to this, this is your delivery room. This is
not just about what you're birthing. It's where God is birthing you into, what he's birthing. You're being birthed into the next realm. Just give me 30 seconds. And I'm going to pronounce the benediction and give you simple instructions. When your time comes, everything works by womb. Time is the womb of eternity. Jesus came in the fullness of time. So he was birthed from out of eternity. One shout can take you from there and bring you here. Just one. Anointed. The density of that anointing becomes weighty until the person on your left and right is affected by it. This is how you know whether a person is anointed or not. Oh, I feel the anointing. When a woman births, she screams and she pushes. This is not perfunctory. This is serious. Because I know it's in the heart of Bishop Jakes to lay hands on every woman. I know it's in his heart, but it's impossible. But God can do it for every woman. I know when God wants to do something because I can see it. And I see the breakthrough. You came this far not to do something perfunctory. Not to just do it because someone tells you. You got to attach a revelation to it. This is taking me 3 minutes. This next shout, something's going to happen. You're going to have a breakthrough. Lay your right hand on your belly. The right hand is a hand of blessing. Put your left hand on top. Put your left hand on the bottom, excuse me. The right hand on the top. Your left hand is a hand of judgment. 10 is a number of law, order, and judgment. Your right hand is a hand of blessing. It goes on top. What you're doing now, you're superimposing the blessing over everything that has cursed you. Your hands are anointed. God is about to bring corporate deliverance in here. You are going to fall out. Stuff is going to come out. The tears are going to come down. This time, I want you push like a pregnant woman and let that sound out. Shout! Shout! That's it.
Looks like that's the end of the show. The recording just stopped. I hope you were blessed with what you heard. Thank you for everybody that called. You can go back to the archives and listen to the entire message. God bless you all. Good night. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Prolific Fire.
Hey, Bob. Yes, I was calling in for prayer. I have an interview coming up today. They have open interviews for jobs. So pray for favor that I may get a job.
Okay.
Thank
Father
you.
God, in the name of Jesus, what's your name?
Sister Ricks.
Wicks?
Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, God, for Sister Wicks, God. Look upon her, God. Show her your favor tonight, Lord God.
Thank
show
you.
Show her your favor, God. Let it rain throughout tomorrow, Lord God, with the interviewers, Lord God. Show your favor upon her.
Thank
that
God.
She may get the job. That
thank
it may
you.
Be the perfect job for her, Lord God. The money-wise, Lord God, the time, the hours,
thank
and the people, Lord God. Let it all fit her. And we thank you for her tonight, Lord God. We
thank
you that you're going to go with her tomorrow. And they're going to see you before they see her.
Yes,
and it's going to all work out for
thank
her in
you.
The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling Prolific Fire.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless.